lesson today is found in the 8th chapter of the book of Exodus. We have three plagues to speak about this afternoon. The first plague is the frogs, the second plague is lice, and the third plague is the flies. Moses was commanded by God to go into Pharaoh and speak to him and say, "Let my people go. If thou refuse to let my people go, I will smite thy land with frogs, and the frogs shall come up upon thee and upon thy house and upon the houses of thy servants and upon thy people, and it shall come also on thy beds, in thy bedchamber, and it also will come into thy ovens and into thy netting troughs." God then was going to smite these people with the plague of frogs if Pharaoh refused to let them go. We don't read that Pharaoh said anything. We read that God said unto Moses and Aaron that Aaron should stretch out the rod over the waters in the land of Egypt and cause the frogs to come up. And this he did in obedience to God, and the frogs came up out of the rivers and in the pools and in the ponds, and they were all over the land of Egypt. This plague was sent by God to instruct the Egyptians. There were two kinds of frogs. The frogs that we find in the rivers, and there are also frogs on the land. But it was the frogs that were in the river. They came up out of the river Nile. This river was a sacred river to the Egyptians. They showed reverence and worship to this river. And these frogs, they were a type of one of their idol gods by the name of Isis. This god the Egyptians worshipped, who was called the god underneath. He was God over those that died, and he gave judgment over them. This god was a brother to another idol god by the name of Sis. And this was the god of fertility, the god that made everything grow. Now, God directed this plague for that purpose, that he would show that these were no gods, that he was the God that they should worship. They worshiped the river, and they worshiped likewise even the frogs. They held them to be sacred. And God wished to direct them away from these idol gods to himself. These frogs, they came up in abundance. They were innumerable. No matter where they went, what they did, these frogs were there. They came into the houses, they came upon their beds, they came into their food. They couldn't eat, they couldn't sleep, they couldn't do anything, but there was frogs where they were. What an awful plague, my hearers. Terrible. And now, these frogs likewise were, some were small, some were large. They invested everything. The commentary says that the people, they couldn't stand the smell of these frogs. Naturally, a frog isn't poisonous. But you read in Psalm 78, verse 45, that he sent frogs and destroyed them. The people were destroyed by the stench that these frogs gave out, especially after they died. They raked them together on heaps, and the stench was all over the land of Egypt. This caused a pestilence, and many of the people died. This plague was sent to Pharaoh because of his obstinacy and his rebelliousness instead of obeying God and doing as God had requested of him, to let the people go. This Pharaoh, he refused in this respect, and therefore this came down upon these people. And now Moses and Aaron, they were the servants of God, and they were to go to Pharaoh and speak to him. We must admire the faith of Moses, for when Pharaoh saw that the land was infested with frogs, he likewise was given to see that the magicians, they brought forth frogs. By the permissive will of God, they were enabled to do this, but they were not able to deliver the country from the frogs. They remained. Therefore, Pharaoh called for Aaron and Moses to come to him. And when they came, he says that he would let the people go, as they requested, if they would entreat the Lord to take away the frogs from them. Glory be, Moses said. When will you want me to entreat the Lord that I would take the frog, that God would take the frogs away from you? He says, tomorrow at this time. Why didn't he say today? Did he like the frogs so much? Were they good companions to his people and to him? By no means. He said this because he thought maybe they'll go away of themselves. And then he wouldn't be indebted to God or to Moses, who requested of him to state the time when he should ask God to take them away. Take particular notice of Moses. He had so much faith to believe that when he would entreat God to take these animals away, God would do it. I admire the faith of Moses. He was God's servant, and he had sent him, and here, when he entreated, why, God heard. And God gave that the frogs, that they all died. And there were so many of them that they raked them together. This was to prove that they were real frogs. And the land stank, it says, from the smell of these frogs. The land got corrupt in this respect. And now God was so good as to take them away. But Moses, Pharaoh, he was a deceitful and an unjust man, a liar. For when he saw there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not let them go. Considering this plague of these poor people in this land, when this plague was taken away from them, you do not read that they were thankful, that they had any gratitude. I'm sure of in the state of New Jersey, we were invested with something, and God had sent this plague, and we could see so clearly and distinctly that it was God's hand that took the plague away. I think we would call out a day of thanksgiving to God that he had delivered us from the plague. Nothing of the kind here. The king, he likewise hardened his heart, and he refused to let the people go. This Pharaoh is a type of so many poor sinners. For when we are afflicted by the hand of God, sometimes upon our bodies, sometimes in our families, sometimes upon our children, then we have thoughts that speak to us and say, if God is so good to me, that he'll spare me now, raise me up again. Well, then they make so many vows, they're going to live for God and they're going to obey God. And when they are given to experience the goodness of God over them, then they usually say their conversion remains on their bed, and that's true. Their vows, their promises, what they intended to do, they remain there. We cannot pay too much regard to people who are afflicted by the hand of God and make promises and vows, because they usually depart and they go back to their former life, to their former sins, and nothing is seen of what they have promised on their beds. so with Pharaoh, he likewise had promised, but when he saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and he would not let them go. God then sent another plague. This plague we read of was the plague of lice. He commanded Aaron and Moses to take the rod and to strike the dust of the ground. And when they struck the dust of the ground with this rod, the dust became lice. And there was nothing but lice throughout the land of Egypt. Lice, they are a very small and a very weak insect. But we find that lice likewise are found upon human beings. They are found upon animals, upon plants. Some of them have a mouth that suck. Some of them have a mouth that bite. Many people, when they came from the other side to America to immigrate here, they were so covered with lice that they had to delouse them before they would let them get into the country. Many little children, when they're going to school, they have companions that are sitting in the front of them, and sometimes they're invested with lice in their hair. They run down over the desk and on the other children. So they get into everything lice. So these little insects, they likewise were brought down upon the people in Egypt. And these lice were upon man, upon beast, upon plants. How awful this must have been to these people that dwelt in Egypt. For the Egyptians, when they walked on the ground, as you know from what we have been teaching you, that every year the river came up over its banks and then it receded. And when it did this, why, it made the land so fertile that they had to take this land and they had to sift it with sand because there was such fertility in the land. And now when these people walked over the land in Egypt, they could almost see in the ground that it was so filled with insect material that when the sun shines so nice and warm upon this ground, why, the insects multiplied tremendously, and they were innumerable. So it was with these lice. They were upon Pharaoh, upon his servants, and they were also upon the magicians. For the magicians attempted to bring forth lice, but they could not. Then they attempted to take away the lice. They couldn't do that either. So then they went to Pharaoh, and they said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." So the magicians were convinced that it was a divine power that had brought these little insects upon them. They saw that it was not of them because they had no power to bring them forth or to expel them. So lice was upon everybody in the land of Egypt. How awful this must have been. And by these little insects, everybody was in a terrible state and condition. They were unbearable upon their bodies. They got into the people's hair and they got into the people's clothes. They got on their bodies, in their skin. They were awful. The priests that were in the land of Egypt and that went into the temple, they were very particular about themselves to keep themselves clean. They did not want to go into the temple because they would profane the temple and it would be a violation of the law to come in the temple with vermin on them. They, most of the time, they wore linen clothes or one of the best piece of cotton materials, and it was always freshly washed before they went into the temple so that they wouldn't carry anything that was like insects upon them. These priests, they must have had a lot of trouble trying to keep the lice from being on them, or they did not enter into the temple. Lice, we find many people have, and they still are numerous, no matter where you may go. Of course, people that are clean, and cleanliness is a great blessing, they do not have this trouble. But people who neglect themselves and neglect their children, we find likewise, they also have these little insects. Now, the people in Egypt, they experienced in this that God can use anything that he had created to make it a curse to them. He is the creator of everything, little things as well as great things. And God uses this little insect to bring it to them that he is God, that he reigns in the heavens above and upon the earth beneath. And this is what Moses said unto Pharaoh, thou shalt see what a great and a glorious God our God is, for he can take these things away. Nobody else could. And now he promised that he would likewise let the children of Israel go. And Moses, he went out and entreated the Lord to take away the lice. And the Lord heard Moses and did as Moses had said unto Pharaoh, that the Lord would take them away. And Moses, he was very anxious to see Pharaoh humbled before God, very desirous that he would repent so that he would not be destroyed. All judgments that God sends upon mankind and upon nations is to humble them, to bring them down in repentance before them. When God sees a sinner repenting and turning away from his sins, it is God that is pleased with such things. But when a sinner is hardened and goes on in his sins, then the curse of God will follow him and will be upon him wherever he goes and whatever he does. How awful to be under the curse of God in this respect. And now when these little insects were taken away, then we find that Pharaoh again hardened his heart and would not let the children of Israel go. And then God spake unto Moses and Aaron, that they should meet Pharaoh. He was going up to the water in the morning, and they should speak to him and tell him that if he refused to let the people of Israel go, then he would bring swarms of flies down upon them. And these flies, they would get into everything. They would be in his house and in his bedchamber and on him and upon his people. They would invest everything. And we do not read that he agreed to let them go. And we find that God commanded Moses and Aaron to let the flies come. In this plague, we do not read that the rod was used, that they were commanded to take the rod and hit the ground or do something with it. But it came immediately from the hand of God, and the flies, they came in great swarms over the land of Egypt. The fly is a well-known insect. There are certain types. Some are larger, some are smaller than others. But the commentary says that around this time, when the children of Israel were to be delivered out of the land of Israel in the month of April, why then there were any number of swarms of flies in Egypt. So the Egyptian people, they could not go to sleep outside without being covered. They had to cover themselves for the flies. And now mothers that had little babies, if they didn't have any covering for these babies, they stood all day waving something to keep the flies off their little baby. And when they didn't do this, it says that any number of little infants were seen with swarms of black flies upon them. in their eyes, in their nose, in their mouths, in their ears. These poor little babes lying in a cradle were just covered with these flies. What an awful thing, especially if you're a mother and you've had a little baby, how you try to keep that child clean, keep the bugs and the flies and the mosquitoes off of it. And here in this country, in Egypt, the poor little things, they were just covered with flies. These flies, likewise, are great in number. Swarms, they're called. I was reading in the commentary that it has been that these flies, they seem to go near lakes, near ponds. And the Egyptians were fond of going to lakes and ponds, but because of the flies, the numerous flies, they had to leave these lakes. They couldn't come near them even. They were left to be desolate. So many flies around them. Then it speaks of Trajan. He was a Roman general, and he became the ruler over the Roman Empire, and that he was making war against a city in Arabia. And as he was making war against this city, great swarms of flies come down upon his army, and he had to stop the siege of the city because of the flies. So numerous they were. We know in this country that flies are numerous too at times, especially if we leave garbage out and it's not covered. When you go to it, all of a sudden you see so many flies fly away. So it must have been in Egypt. This country was subject to the plague of flies two times a year, April and in September. It seems that they even were in the ground. Flies, they make magnets, and from these magnets, they multiply exceedingly. So the flies were upon Pharaoh, upon his servants, upon his people. There wasn't anybody that could chase them away. They were so numerous. And now Pharaoh, when he seen this, he relented. He called Moses and Aaron to him, and he said that he would leave the people go, and they could go and sacrifice unto their God in the country. He then said it was all right for them to go in the land of Egypt to sacrifice to the Lord. But Moses, he would not accept this proposal because he said, shall we sacrifice then the abomination of the Egyptians? When we do this, won't they stone us? The reason for this saying is that the Egyptians, they worshiped the calves and the cows as sacred animals. And now the Israelites were commanded by God to use these animals in their sacrifices unto God. And if they should sacrifice these animals in the front of the eyes of the Egyptians, it would be an awful thing. It would be an abomination to them. And that's why Moses said, would they not stone us? It seems that even the Israelites down in the land of Egypt, that they got this idea that a calf or a cow was a god, because you read when they were in the land, in the wilderness, that Aaron made a calf out of it, a golden calf. That's where they got the idea from. So they were far from God, them people too. Every day was the same in the land of Egypt. There was no Sabbath day there either. They did not worship God as they were given to do after they received the law upon Mount Sinai. And so this being in the land to worship God, Moses wouldn't accept. He said, we must make 3 days' journey in the wilderness. We must be alone so that the Egyptians would not see them. It is true, my dear hearers, if we are to worship God, we would like to be alone too. I don't know how many of my hearers like to be alone to worship God. We worship Him publicly, and it's a blessing, when he comes down and gives us to do so. But when it's worship individually, there's no better place than to be alone. To be away from the world, away from the noise thereof, and away from anything that would interrupt your worship with God. And we need that very much, my dear hearers, to interrupt our worship with God. We only need to be on our knees and have the telephone ring and we're done. How often this happens, the children of God will verify they need very little to interrupt it. Therefore, what a blessing when we are alone and we are not interrupted even by the world outside of us. We have world enough inside, and that interrupts our worship so often. But it pleases God sometimes to come down and take everything in possession and give us to worship Him. What a blessing, my hearers, to have something of this in our life. These children of Israel, they demanded of Pharaoh that they would have 3 days' journey in the wilderness to worship and to serve their God. And now he consents to them, but they should not go too far. Oh, he didn't want to lose these people. They were a great help to him. They made a lot of money for him. They were slaves to this country. And now if they went too far, he probably had heard that they had their eye upon the land of Canaan. And he thought, once they get out of the land of Egypt, they're gone. They're going to go to the land of Canaan, and they'll never come back. So that's why he said to them, not too far, so that he could keep them. He would have a hand upon them and be able to bring them back. And now, Moses said to him that he would entreat the Lord his God to take away the flies which were upon his people and upon all that were in the land of Egypt. In this plague we read too that God said that he would make a distinction between his people and the people of Egypt. He would make a line that over that line in the land of Goshen there would be no flies. Only on the Egyptians would the flies be. Thinking about that, it doesn't say in the Bible, but if anybody believed the word of God, you would think there would be a lot of Egyptians that would went over into the land of Goshen so that they wouldn't be invested with all these flies. But God made a distinction. He severed between the Egyptians and between his people. He calls the Israelites my people. Every time, if you take notice, it does not mean that every one of the Israelites were one of God's chosen people. That it don't mean. But there were among them those that he had chosen from all eternity. And now God certainly will make a distinction even in this world. If not in this world, in the day of judgment, he will make a distinction between his people and the wicked. You will see in that day that the righteous shall be taken in and the wicked shall be cast away. God in this life already makes a distinction. When he comes to any person and puts his spirit within that person, and causes that person to forsake the world and every form of friend, that person is given to know something of this God against whom he or she has sinned against. They are brought into contrition, into sorrow for their sins. They have a godly sorrow planted into their souls. Oh, I wish that every soul here would receive something of this godly sorrow, that we sin against such a good God. I wonder if there are any listening to me. I may well wonder. We are living in times, my dear hearers, when God so withholds his precious spirit from us and our children that it's a miracle to hear somebody that's troubled and that has concern about their immortal souls. Oh, God separates his people out of this world. But they cannot go along anymore with their former friends and companions. They cannot enjoy the sins and the pleasures that the world revels in. Oh, they turn away from it and they wish they never would sin anymore. Any one of you has had this in your life? Oh, my dear hearers, if this does not take place with you in this life, then God will make a separation between you and the righteous. Oh, to be on the side of the wicked will be an awful thing. God separated here his people. They weren't invested with flies as the rest of the Egyptians were. And so in that day, that soul whom he has chosen, whom he has loved, whom he has led out of the world, led out of the Egypt of this world and brought them to himself, they likewise will not be punished, but they will be taken up to be with him in glory above. Oh, what a blessing to know in this life that we have God as our God and Jesus as our Savior, and that we are looking forward to the coming of our Lord and at times praying, peace, Lord, peace. Oh, my dear hearers, may you be given by the grace of God to fall down before him and to seek him yet, that he may be a God of grace to you and separate you from the world which lieth in wickedness. These people then, the Israelites, were given something of the sparing mercies of God over all that lived in Goshen. There was no flies there. But the Egyptians had so many flies. And now the Egyptians, they even worshipped gods who had, they said, control of the flies. We read of the god of Ekron. He was called the fly god. He was an expeller of flies. There was one that was in Rome. Hercules, his name is. He was worshipped by the people as an expeller of flies. And then there was a Jupiter who likewise was worshipped in the city of Greece. This likewise was one that the people worshipped because they thought that they could expel the flies from them. Probably it appeared unto the people that they had such power and such might to do this. The devil has all sorts of instruments to make people believe in, so they would not believe in the true God. Even these magicians, they were able to do wonders under the permissive will of God. But when it came to take away the frogs or take away the lice of the flies, there wasn't anyone that could do that, only God himself. And now God, in his infinite mercy, he spake unto Moses that he would take away the flies from Pharaoh and from his people. Moses prayed unto him, and this God was so gracious unto the people in Egypt that he caused all the flies to depart from them, and there was not one to be found. How wonderful this must have been for the people in the land, that this plague was taken away and that they had no more trouble with all these flies being about them. This God has all things in his hands. Oh, should we not love this God? Should we not fear this God? Think of what he could do to us if he wanted to. The least little insect he could use and make it our enemy, let alone great and magnificent animals that he has created, which he likewise could use. Oh, how we should revere and adore this great and this glorious and this divine being. Oh, if you have this God as your friend, you have a friend indeed, my hearers. Is he your friend? You pray to him that he'll be your friend, your protector. Oh, what a blessing if you are in this respect, praying unto him to guide you, to keep you, to watch over you. We all need his protection in every way and in every respect. And sometimes you may see that he really is protecting you. Sometimes, just like these magicians, they said, this is the finger of God. So you may see sometimes in the least thing that's opposing you, and that's annoying you, and that's an enemy to you, you may find that this God takes it away in a wonderful way sometimes, so that he will be receive the glory, the honor. Have you ever been sick? Have you ever been afflicted? Have you ever been near death's door? Did it look that way that you wouldn't live? Has the Lord restored you, brought you back to health and strength? Have you seen the hand of God in it? Did the doctor even have to say you have nobody to thank but God because you're still alive? Oh, what a mercy of you have been given to see this. This really should humble, this really should break your hard and rocky heart. Even if you had a heart like Pharaoh and his heart was hard, it was hardened, it would break and melt under the realization of the goodness of God. God then took away the flies and the people were exempt from this plague. But we read again that God ordered Moses and Aaron to go in to Pharaoh and speak to him. For he had hardened his heart again. He had committed himself that he would let them people go. He had told this to Moses. And now when he had a respite, he hardened his heart again. A type of each and every one of us by nature. But Moses and Aaron were commanded again to go into to Pharaoh and speak to him, that if he did not lead the people go, then God was going to bring down a grievous murrain upon all the cattle in the land of Egypt. Only the cattle in Goshen would be exempt. And now God commanded that this murrain should come down upon the animals. It was an infection. It was a pestilence that was among the animals that were in Egypt. The animals, according to the statement, and all of the cattle in the land of Egypt died. That don't mean that every individual cattle died. Don't take that word like that. All sorts of cattle died. That's what the word all means. You read, I think, in 2 Timothy 1, that God wills that all should be saved. That doesn't mean that every individual is going to be saved, but it means people from all sorts, from all lands, God has chosen, and they shall be saved. Same like here, you read, all the cattle in Egypt died. Later on, you read that there were cattle again. And they were plagued too. We read of a plague of hail later on that killed all the cattle. It didn't kill them all, just all sorts of them. So the Egyptians, they had been given warning that this would come. And they, who feared the Lord and believed his word, they took their cattle and brought them inside. But this infection was upon all their cattle, and they lost a tremendous lot of beasts in this terrible plague that came upon them. God came into Egypt with plague after plague, my hearers, so that he would reveal to them that he was God in the earth and God only. God did not stop with his plagues until he had brought everyone upon them. We have spoken to you of 3 or 4 plagues just now, and we have somewhere near 5 more to go. If I was to speak out my heart about it, I would say, well, we'll forget about these 5, but I will continue with the lesson. There are many providential instructions in these lessons and plagues that God has sent unto Israel of old. If they may be blessed to any one of our souls, it'll be a blessing that we have continued with the lessons upon them. For I am far behind schedule. But I am not the only one. All the teachers are way behind. None of them have the lessons we have today. They're all still speaking about the plague, because there's such a volume in it, mostly historical, very little experimental and spiritual in it, but very instructive. I hope that this God that we have been talking about may become your God. And if he is your God, you have a treasure that's worth more than all the gold and silver in this world. And if you are without him, how poor you are. You will have to meet him someday. How soon, we know not. But it is appointed unto man that he must die and appear before God. And how shall you and I appear before him? You and I, who are filled with plagues, filled with one plague, the plague of sin, something that you and I can't overcome, something that you and I can't put away, something that you and I love. We want to sin. We have a will that wants to do this, and this has to be broken. And God takes many different means to bring his people down so that they will have to say, lost, lost. And then he saved them. I hope you all may experience this, that God is a God of grace, able to save the greatest of sinners, and that you may become one of the greatest with the Apostle Paul. That's all for today, my hearers.